Who told you that? Why do you?
World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I got a lot bubbling up inside of me today, and I'm going to try to be a good boy, and I want to talk about spiritual warfare, demons, angels. I want to stay focused on that. So that's what we're going to do today. Stay right there with me. I've been doing research. I can't believe the stuff I found that I did not know. I didn't know. But right off the top here, folks, listen. How many of you sent an email to somebody yesterday? And encourage them, a text message, encourage them. How many of you out there actually did that? And I want you to know, I said in the pre-show here, we had a little bit going on. I did. And I was amazing. Some of the things, people who used to be in the show, or maybe people who still are in the show, I just sent them a little text. I think I did about 10, maybe 15 of them. And I was amazed at some of the responses I got. Hey, folks, people are really under it, man. They're really under it. You know what they need more than anything? They need fellowship, man. They need to know that somebody cares. They need to know. And I felt really, really guilty because a couple of them that I contacted yesterday, I hadn't heard from them in 6 months. And I thought, wow, what kind of guy am I if they leave the show and haven't contacted them in 6 months? And I was amazed at some of the stuff I found. I'm not going to share it with you. Amazed at some of the things that I found out. Now look at me. This is so critical for all of us to understand. Whether you like Coach Dave Live, whether you like me, whether I yell too much, whether I remind you of your ex-husband, it doesn't matter. Here's the question I ask all of them. When you disengage from Coach Dave Live, who do you engage with? And the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And you get butthurt and you leave here, who are you assembled with? You know what I'm finding out, Paul? They ain't assembled with nobody. They're just butthurt and went home. Somebody said something they didn't like and they went home. So if you leave Coach Dave Live, it's okay. I mean, we go on here. You better hook up with somebody because the devil's going to eat you alive if you're a lone wolf. I'm just telling you, man. You do what you want. You can come in here and you can disagree with every theology position that we ever come up here, and you can argue all you want to because there's 42,000 different denominations. Go ahead and do that. But at the end of the day, it's you and the Lord and the devil at the end of the day. And who is your means of support? And who told you that? And why do you believe him? So continue to do that. In fact, I don't want to get off target. Because I know some of you did contact some people, and I was going to say, hey, somebody give me some, let's hear about it. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. I don't want to do that today. I really want to finish up some of the other stuff that are going on. And by the way, let me tell you this. Don't be a know-it-all. Don't be a know-it-all. I talked to a couple people yesterday. They, are you ready? Are you ready? They quit joining the queue because they hate Trump. They admitted it. I said, are you kidding me? You left all these people who care about you, concerned about you, because you don't like Trump? So dig in. Let's talk about it here. Let's talk about it. Folks, it's satanic government anyway. He is the president. Pray for him. Hate him all you want. But you ain't going to have very good prayers for him if you hate him. And sooner we come to the realization that he is God's man because God raises up one and sets down another. And we pray that the Lord will get a hold of that man's heart. That's where I'm. Okay, I don't want to talk. I'm going to get bogged down on all of that. But I pray. I'm going to You know what I did? My new phone. I told you I ran over my phone. My new phone. And you know what I did? I went to contacts. And I thought, oh, man. God, I haven't heard from him forever. That's what I said. I haven't heard from him forever. And dink, I'd send him a text message. Boom, boom, boom. I did it to about 10, I don't know, maybe 15 people yesterday. Could you do that? Look at your phone and say, hey, what, golly, I haven't spoken to him in forever. Whatever. Care about one another. Say, come on back. You don't have to come back, but come on back. Who are you assembling with? Come on back. Some of them don't know how to come back because they've been gone. And, you know, and anyway, it's not about numbers. My wife keeps telling me that's not about numbers. It's about impact. And we're having some impact here today. Okay, so look. I want to house to house this Saturday. The links at, thank you, Mel, for all you do out there. House to house Saturday. And I'm not going to tell you where it, if you would like to be part of it here in Central Ohio, contact me and we'll tell you where to go. And I'm not going to put it out there for everywhere so anybody can show up and do whatever, right? The protesters show up, whatever. So house to house this weekend. It's really important to get to be able to look face to face to the, excuse me, to the people that are in the queue. Okay. Number two, I'm making notes. I'm not going to talk about that. Pray for David Arthur. David Arthur, where folks, are you looking at me? Pray for David Arthur. In fact, somebody's going to get ready to do that right now. What do you have going on this weekend, David? Hey, hang on. I want you guys to know this. Are you looking at me? You guys, through your offerings here at Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt, huh? You are funding David Arthur's trip this week. Do you understand that, friends? You understand that? We're sending David money. He's leaving here soon because we believe, even though he's a sinner and he fell back and he's recovered, we believe the message is so powerful that we are going to invest in what it is that he's doing, okay? So what are you doing this weekend, David?
So today I'm heading down to Southern Maine for an event. Tonight it's a GOP candidates night. And then tomorrow morning, starting at 7:30, I'll be in Augusta at the Civic Center for the GOP state convention as a delegate for Friday and Saturday for the whole weekend. So probably a couple thousand people will get to see the Ask an Ex-Trans t-shirt and receive I got like about 1,000 cards to take with me, postcards to hand out.
That's a bomb. Is that a bomb to the homo movement?
How to handle it. Even the... It's funny because there's a couple, of course, homosexual GOP members that just adore what I do. They love it. As a matter of fact, the best part of it was when I was talking to one of them and my brother Jeff was like, wow, I can't believe you did that. You turned it around. I was talking to the guy. He was the chair of one of the GOP committees here in Maine. And he's talking about his husband this and his husband that. And I was like, oh, man. So I bit my tongue. I practiced the pause and I just loved on him. And then we got to talking and I said, listen, I said, don't hold it against me when you hear some of the things I say about homosexuality. Don't hold it against me. Don't hate on me because I don't believe what you're. He said, oh, no. It's all good. He's like, I already know what you believe. So it's all good. So it's just about getting people to understand and educating people about the trans movement, about the gender affirming care sanctuary state position that Maine holds. We have GOP members. We have legislators that have no idea what the LD227 even means for the state of Maine. No idea. Gubernatorial candidates that have no clue of what the gender affirming care sanctuary state really is.
And folks, the lie. Just ask yourself this question. And I'm going to get off to, because we're going to get into the spiritual warfare here. Can you imagine what America would look like if Christians were as committed to indoctrinating the world in Christianity as the gay agenda is in indoctrinating your children? It is life. It is life or death for the gay movement, isn't David? They have to recruit, right, Dave? They have to recruit, yes. Right? Yep. Do you remember back in the days when they were in the closet? They were in the closet. Do you know this, folks? Do you know that most wicked things are done in the closet? You do understand that, right? Huh? Men don't watch pornography out in the street. They watch it in the closet because it's something shameful that you should be ashamed of. And so they do it in the closet. But what they tried to do is they tried to open the closet. See, they wanted to open the closet and invite little kids in. Because if they can get the little kids, then maybe somehow they can feel like they're normal, even though, you know.
Back in my day, Coach, we only came out at night. If we went somewhere in the day, it was just to go do what we had to do and get back to our apartment or our motel room. But we only came out at night. And now it's because, you know, they used to say whatever is done at night will get exposed in the light of day. Well, now it doesn't matter. Now it's all over day and night. And so that's why it's important that we go everywhere, even amongst non-Christians in the conservative party, non-Christian.
Non-Christians don't
go. Non-Christians.
Huh? Christians don't. It's
crazy. Thanks, Coach, and thanks, everybody.
Yeah. So, folks, you can help support David. Anyway, hey, Ray LeBlanc, I know he's coming out your way out there, Wisconsin. Raise him some money out there, will you, Ray? Will you get those daggone churches to dig in their pocket and support what it is he's trying to do? Huh? We gotta put our money where our mouth is. Anybody else before any house cleaning before we get in there? Because I really want to focus on what we're doing here right now. Anybody? Jack, go ahead, Jack.
Well, as David just explained, we let the camel get under the tent.
That's right.
And that damn thing has taken over.
It is.
It's ridiculous. And I was stunned at how many people, good people that I know personally, did not get outraged when Sharon Bemis became something within the main Republican gubernatorial crap. All she could talk about. I got upset. I said, I don't care what you do, what you wear for earmuffs, lady. I'm just so ticked off that all you could say was my wife this and my wife that and my wife that. And the chairman of the state committee said, well, she's not killing babies. Yeah. I said, that's the litmus test to be a Republican? Are you freaking kidding me?
Because they've watered it all down. Watered it all down, right?
The standards are gone, and the fundamentals, they don't even know the fundamentals. What David just said about the gubernatorial candidates, we're going to elect people, and we elect people all the time, that make laws that require me to have a license. They don't have a license to legislate. They don't even know what
Jack, let me ask you a question, Jack. Just curious out there, folks. If you go into the ballot box, and you vote as a Christian man, Christian woman, and you go in the ballot box and you pull the lever for someone you know is going to murder babies, are you complicit?
Absolutely.
Is the Lord going to wink and nod at that? See, in my mind, if they kill an unborn baby, they'd kill me too if they could. Somebody say amen. Huh? Why? Because all those who hate me love death. Hey, David Arthur, it's a death style, isn't it, brother, huh?
Absolutely. Not one sin leads to life.
They just mutilate you. It's a death style.
Nobody ever actually gets a sexual reassignment surgery. All they do is mutilate their genitals. That's it.
That's right.
Well, the same question goes, Dave, the same question.
Go ahead.
Is God going to wink at all the little dimes and nickels and quarters that we allow them to take out of our paycheck to murder babies? Amen. Is God going to wink at that? I don't think so.
Somebody tell Donald Trump God ain't happy with it. Somebody tell him. Hey, David, listen, curious. Keep it clean here. How do you have sex after your dinger's cut off? How does that, after you have sexual reassignment, sir, are you able to have sex? How does that work, David?
Well, you know, I told you about those two post-operative transgenders that told me don't do it.
Yeah.
Well, neither one of them could. They had no feeling. They couldn't orgasm. And not only that, their cavity was only as deep as their thing was long. And so it was just sad. They were ruined for life, scarred for life.
Well, they had the appearance of a woman, but then they other than that, the sexual experience.
That's it. Nothing.
Look, without getting real graphic, Dave, I don't know. I'm just asking. Can a male who's become a male actually have sex with another male? Is that can a penis enter this made up new vagina?
It can.
I want to know that. Huh?
It can, but it could also do a lot of damage if it does.
It's not designed for sex.
No.
It's just designed to deny who you really are.
It's just vanity. That's it.
Yeah, amen. Okay. Boom. Okay. I move on. Thanks, David. Hey, you keep your nose clean. Huh? You keep your nose. Hey, David, it'd be better to cut it off than to sin.
Amen. Lots of people paying attention and watching me. So,
okay. Yeah, that's right, brother.
No worries.
Great responsibility. Okay, cool. Man,
Coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Real quick, do you want me to pray for David?
Yes, of course he needs it. Hey, folks, that'd be a good idea for a lot of us, wouldn't it, to pray for David Arthur? Right after we pray for the president, pray for the president, then pray for David Arthur. Go ahead, Lord.
100%. Okay, so let's lock and load. Father, you are so good.
Amen.
And thank you for your mercy and your everlasting love.
Yes,
and that your arm is not too short to save. You have carved us in the palms of your hands. And you said, as a mother comforts her child, so shall I comfort you. And if your people would just humble themselves and pray. Father, forgive us for not humbling ourselves and being butt hurt because our feelings got hurt. Because somebody didn't agree with what we did, and that the spirit of offense, Lord God, you would remove it from your children's lives.
Amen.
That we can agree to disagree, have different opinions, and learn from those things. But Father, because of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come to you this morning together, unified only by one name, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our unity is in Jesus Christ. We are divided against one another, but we are unified in you, Jesus. And thank you for going to the cross. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving your dad so much and loving the mission that you were put on, that you took a beating so bad. And you helped us to understand the power of silence when our offenders are coming against us. But Lord God, the enemy is raging war against our nation, against you. And we lift up Donald Trump, the man. We ask you, Almighty God, to give him wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and a baptism in the Holy Spirit fire.
Amen.
Like that man has never had before.
Amen.
That you send the hounds of heaven after him. Every angel, Lord God, that you need, that you know, are the best to be dispersed on for him and minister to him in this Gethsemane. Right now, the United States is in Gethsemane. And Jesus, that's where you cried out. That's where your blood first was dropped with teardrops mixed with your salt as it hit the earth as you were crying out in Gethsemane. And we're asking you, Almighty God, to anoint, appoint, and send Donald Trump for your name, the man, and that you'll take care of the office and you will give him the wisdom and understanding to know the Judases around him. They will be exposed. And he will know how to deal with them accordingly because you have given him the wisdom, the power, the strength, and the courage to stand up for you, which stands up for each and every one of us. None of us, Almighty God, none of us are sinless. And we're really good at looking at the plank in Donald Trump's eyes, but we're not looking at the planks in our own eyes. His sin looks really good. Our sin looks really good on him. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for being a condemning family.
Amen.
Instead of a loving one, shedding the truth. You're sending out your soldiers, Lord God, to do into the enemy's camp. We ask you, Almighty God, first of all, to tear down every single solitary weapon that's being formed. We don't need to know what they are, but you know what they are. That they will not prosper. No longer they are allowed to prosper. No longer is fear allowed to have the Medusa head and it bites in a bunch of different directions, Lord God. But that your love will not only cover a multitude of sin, but no, the fear will no longer allow torment and we won't be paralyzed by it. And Lord God, we just ask you to cover David as he goes into the lion's den. We ask you, Almighty God, that you give him the words to speak, the understanding and how to apply it, the knowledge to have discernment, as you give David discernment that only comes from heaven itself, that you give him favor with every step, that you protect him from the enemy's onslaught when he's traveling mercies to and from, and that they will be stopped, but that your message will be spoken through him, that the lives, Lord God, that he needs to touch, those appointments that you have set for him will not be derailed, Lord God, and that you will introduce him to the people that he needs to speak to for you, because right now you're saving lives. This is a different form of an abortion clinic.
Amen.
This is an abortion of the living, and it's starting in your church, and the others are casualties.
Amen.
So, Almighty God, we ask you to take away the veil of deception. We ask you, Father, that there will be no more deceiving, that the enemy will be paralyzed with his tongue, with his actions, and that these demons, Lord God, will be sent to you, Jesus Christ, and you will send them where they need to go, into the abyss, and not allow to return. That the blood of Jesus Christ will cover David from the top of his head to the bottoms of his feet, to the tips of his fingertips, and Lord God, around his car, around his finances, around everything that needs to be, that's the firewall that he needs.
Amen.
That if any enemy comes against that man, Lord God, that the enemy would be burnt and be screaming in torment because they tried to touch your appointing. And Lord God, when he's alone in the night and he's by himself in his thoughts and he's overthinking, Almighty God, step in, intervene, have somebody send him a text to derail whatever the enemy's trying to do.
Amen.
Just like, and I ask you, Almighty God, that David would also have an appointment to meet with Nisa Powers. He's struggling with his identity. And he needs help, and he needs help from somebody who gets it, and not somebody who's going to condemn him, but somebody who's going to share the truth to encourage him.
Amen.
And not try to have to perform, to have to be what somebody else or some Christian says you have to be.
Amen.
By some rules and some religion. It's not based in that. It's based on you, Jesus Christ. Why aren't you enough for us? Why can't we love just because you love us? And whatever that looks like, and just show up and just listen. There's power in listening and shutting up. So thank you, Lord God, for doing this. Thank you for watching over Coach.
Amen.
And Michelle and Lord God, their family, their grandbabies, and Lord God, his property.
Mm-hmm.
And his finances, and that the enemy can't come against their marriage, their family, their property, because how you've anointed and appointed him to do what he needs to do. And his wife is his battle buddy. She's with him when he's crying. She's wiping his tears. She sees the battles that nobody else sees with you as you guide her to give her husband wisdom. And as Coach Dave is her husband. And how to comfort Michelle when she's scared for her husband and her family. Because she's still a mom and she's still a wife. They're still human. And they need you to do what they do to babysit the rest of us and to coach the stinking locker room. Because we're all like little kids in a sandbox throwing equipment at one another and picking up weights and throwing at them because we don't want to go in the training room because it might hurt too much. Or we have to take a different training routine or have to watch too many films so that we can learn. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the wall of protection. Thank you for the wisdom, the discernment, the understanding, the knowledge that only comes from heaven itself that you will give David Arthur, Coach Dave, Michelle, Donald Trump, the man. And you will protect this nation and all this onslaught as we get prepared to dedicate this land as it's been crying out to you, back to you, because this land belongs to you. We belong to you, not to Satan, not his stupid demons, not his friends. He's lied, denied, gossiped, and slandered about you since the very beginning. And nothing has changed yet. We're all so stupid and thinking that it's all changed because we're all believing the lies and because of the pride, because we're not going to believe you. Jesus Christ is enough. Amen. Thank you for forgiving us. And thank you for what you're going to do, because I'm excited to see how you're going to restore, renew, and jump and show off. And say, and we can just say, amen. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
Weapons
all right, of all I'm out of here. I'm going to go give them heaven.
They're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And listen, I want you guys to pray this as well, because we can't go into depth about it. Paul Goslin has got them over a barrel. Folks, Dr. Paul Goslin has got the authorities, the demonic authorities, over a barrel. And pray that God shows off Dr. Paul Goslin. I'm not going to say anything more about it. But it's happening. It's happening. Okay, cool. Anybody else here? Right, Paul? Thumbs up on that, Paul? Got him over a freaking barrel. They don't know what the hell they're going to do. I got him. Oh, yeah, got him, as they say, by the short hairs. Got him by the short hairs. Wow. I got so much I want to say. Okay, is it my turn now?
Keep going. Let's go.
Okay, it's my turn. Thanks, Chad. Okay, so, golly, folks, I consider myself a pretty informed Christian. And I can't tell you how much I don't know from a spiritual standpoint. And you know, I get up in the morning or at night or whatever. My wife says, get off the computer. I said, no, I can't. I can't. And I just Google stuff. I just Google stuff. For instance, I Googled in there, what's the hierarchy of heaven? I Googled that. Anybody know what the hierarchy of heaven is? Have you ever been taught this in your evangelical church? So I'm going to give you some of this stuff. I just ask questions, okay? I just said, Lord, what's the hierarchy of heaven? Is there a hierarchy? Because we know that there's different levels, different devils. We say that all the time and don't realize that's true. That is true. Different levels, different devils. Why? Because there's a hierarchy. There's a hierarchy. You guys know what the hierarchy is? Hell, I don't know what it was. So I'm going to run down through some of this stuff today. Maybe we can get a spiritual understanding of exactly what's going on. Look, are you guys looking at my screen right now? I Googled hierarchy of heaven. That's all I did. And the stuff that pops up. Now, you got to be careful because AI is in there and you'll get some crap and all that. So you have to be discerning that you go and get it from what you would consider to be a reliable source. Okay? Because you can't trust everything on the internet. Huh? Who told you that and why do you believe? Okay, the hierarchy of heaven consists of 9 orders of angels. Did you guys know that? Raise your hand if you knew that. And if you raise your hand, you're lying. 9 orders of angels organized into 3 hierarchies, each with distinct roles and proximity to God. Did you know that? What's the first hierarchy? Go down there. First hierarchy. The closest one to God are what they call seraphim. Scroll down, Spencer. Wake up. Seraphim. Seraphim is the highest order known as the burning ones. Perpetually worship God and surround his throne. They have 6 wings. 2 cover their faces. 2 cover their feet. And 2 are constantly flying. So in other words, they can't even look at him. And they got some wings that are flying. Huh? What? And they have 2 on their feet. And their primary role is to maintain the holiness of God and the celestial order. In other words, they are maintaining the godly spiritual atmosphere where God reigns. That's pretty powerful, wouldn't you think? Think about that. Huh? Then we have the cherubim. Cherubims are guardians of divine wisdom and God's glory. And they're often depicted with multiple wings and multiple faces. Why? Because they have to be able to see all around. They're guardians. They protect sacred spaces and symbolize God's omniscience and power. That's there. There's the scriptures if you want to. So we got seraphim, we got cherubim, and then we have thrones. What? Angels of humility, peace, and submission, serving as intermediaries between the divine and the material realms. Are you kidding me? They support the lower angels in their access to God. Do you get a picture of this? A lower angel shows up, a guardian angel shows up, comes and knocks on the door, and there's a guard standing there. The guard says, well, that's up on level 12, and here's your pass. You go up to level 12, they'll get you, and you get on the elevator, and you go up, come down to level 12, and then there's a hierarchy. It's a hierarchy. So the second hierarchy, the first one is the closest to God. The second hierarchy are the governing angels. What? Yeah, and they're called dominions. Angels of leadership who regulate the duties of other angels and convey God's commands. Folks, they call it the army of God. Why is it an army of God? Because it has rank and order. So the dominions are the leaders. Then there are the virtues known as the shining ones. They govern nature, control elements, oversee miracles, provide courage and grace. This is just second hierarchy of angels. And then there's powers. They're warrior angels. Are you seeing the military structure here? They're my brain went dead. The A team, what do they call they? They're the frontline guys. What do they call that military? What do we call those guys? Come on. Somebody help me.
SEAL team.
The SEAL team. They're the SEAL team. They're warrior angels defending the cosmos and humanity against evil, often associated with archangels like Michael. Hey, folks, it just ain't God sitting up there. So the third hierarchy are messengers and protectors. What? Principalities are guardians of nations, institutions, and leaders guiding earthly governance according to divine will. So I'm in the United States of America. We have a principality over America. And there's probably a principality over Britain. And there's probably a principality over Mexico. And these are little governors in control of certain areas. Are you seeing the picture? See the picture how this comes together? And then there's archangels. And what are they? They're special messengers of God, delivering critical messages and participating in key events of salvation history, such as Gabriel announcing the birth of John the Baptist and Mary's Annunciation. Those are archangels. And then there's just the putty around angels. That's the lowest order, closest to humanity, serving as a personal guardian and messenger to individuals. You really do have a guardian angel. You really do. So what's the significance? Well, the hierarchical structure illustrates order, authority, and function of the celestial realm. The first hierarchy is devoted to direct worship and contemplation of God. The second governs cosmic and natural order. And the third, it's like departments in government. And the third interacts with humanity, delivering divine guidance and protection. Both Western and Eastern Orthodox trained traditions maintain this framework through iconography and emphasis on how special angels vary. Now, whoever knew that? Whoever knew that? To understand that there's a hierarchy in heaven. Hey, folks, there's a hierarchy in hell, too. Now, listen. Demons aren't in hell. Demons are not in hell. We'll get into that here in a second. Go ahead, Mark. Come on in, Mark.
I was gonna say at the end of it, it talks about how the angels vary. Let's not forget the angels on Mount Hermon. I think all angels are watchers, not just the bad ones. I think angels watch us. Some fell. and they call them the Watchers. But they argued. They didn't want to do this thing. Some of them did, some of them didn't. So that shows that angels vary. They have decision-making. And it also explains if there's angels over the nations, as Craig teaches, and that's what nations are, is actually the angels. That's why we got the cultures are so different.
Amen.
The spirit over the nations is what drives the people to act a certain way. You know, think about the spirit over Islam, right? That spirit is a hateful spirit. Plus, they,
it's a dominion. Plus, it's a dominion.
They believe, plus, yes. Look at what they believe at death. They believe they're getting 20 virgins. Mm. So these spirits are convinced by the watchers, the angels that are over the nations. And that's why the cultures are different. Now, laying it out like a hierarchy, I didn't know that, Coach. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, that's cool, isn't it? Huh? If we begin to look at it as a military exercise, of course it all makes sense to us. It all makes sense.
Amen.
So that's the hierarchy of heaven. I wonder, is there a hierarchy of hell? Well, pull up number 7. Oh, I got so much stuff. I couldn't believe the stuff I found when I... Huh? Did you know there are different kinds? Do you guys ever remember where Jesus came and cast a devil out of a man? And people said, we were been praying. How come we couldn't cast him out? We were putting water on his head and we were laying hands on him. And anybody know what Jesus said? Huh? Come on, class. What'd Jesus say?
Fast and pray.
Yes, but no. This kind comes out only with prayer and fasting. This kind? You mean there are different kinds? Hey, Paul, you like dogs? Are they all the same? Is a poodle the same as a poodle same as a German Shepherd? Is a German Shepherd same as a collie? They're different kinds. There are different kinds of demons. Jesus tells us. I ought to charge for this. I can't because I stole it from somebody else. For the most part, demons are known by their function. The function name will tell you what the demon specializes in. For instance, a spirit of lust, it's different than a spirit of greed. They're not the same kind. They're demons, but they're different kinds of dogs. Wow. Well, this is eye-opening to me. For instance, the spirit of lust will specialize in transmitting lust. Sitting around on the computer and all of a sudden you say, hey, you know, I'm going to click on this. Well, what the hell caused you to click on that? Could that be demonic influence? Could there be something around, barking around you that you don't even know what's going on? And so we have the power to say, no, I ain't clicking on that. You have the power to do that. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the power to do it. They're just doing their job. Those dogs are just barking. That's all. Pornography. Let's see. For instance, the spirit of lust will specialize in transmitting lust onto the person they're attached to. And once they transmit that feeling of lust, it's like squirting you with lust, putting a needle in you, squirting you with lust. The person then will try and get the person to act on that lust. This is how many people end up engaging in fornication, adultery, or pornography. This is what you call a person coming under direct demonic influence. Hey, this is good, isn't it? Do you guys know any of this stuff? Do you know any of this? What's the Bible? Hey, huh? Come on now. Come on out there, big boys and big girls. How do you cast out devils? Well, we'll get into that here in a second. But I know that the scripture says this, resist the devil. Boom. Resist him, and he'll flee. Resist him. No, I ain't doing that. Sorry, I ain't doing that. No, no. I'm not going to hoard that 10 bucks. I'm going to send it to David Arthur. No, I'm not going to hoard it. I'm going to say, come on. Come on now. Let's get honest. So most of these cases are not full possession. People are not fully possessed. They're oppressed. They're oppressed. They're influenced. It's raining on them. And will they respond to the rain or not? Or will they go under the umbrella and get out of the rain? It's happening everywhere. But know this. The enemy knows your weakness. And so if he was able to get you to do it once by doing this, he will use that same technique again. He ain't no dummy. Time out. They are so real, folks. The spirit realm is so real. This is good. I'm not going to read all of it because I'll be here all day. Satan still has not changed his tactics and strategies. He still uses both demons and other people to try to get us to fall into various types of sin. We call that gossip a lot of times. But whether we are coming under any kind of direct influence from demons or other people, the choice will always remain with us whether or not to fall for the temptation. The Bible says that with the temptation, God provides a way out. You have this ability to say no. But you got to recognize what's going on. Put this in the chat. This is so good. This is so good. So the people you are dealing with, including me, we are under demonic oppression, not possession. We could argue back and forth. Can a Christian be possessed by the devil? That's open for the debate. Let me say this. I know damn well that a Christian can be oppressed of one. That's why the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle. You ever go to a wrestling match? Sometimes you're on the top, sometimes you're on the bottom. You just don't want your shoulders to get flat because you get pinned. Don't get pinned! We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, evil. What? And we're talking about principalities. Oh, I got so much. Not so much. Goodwin, put it in the chat. I'm going to pull up another one from you. different kinds. I said that, right? Where is it? Okay. How about this? Number 10. 10 things you should know about demons. Say, Coach, I never heard any of this stuff. I've been going to church my whole life. I never knew any of this. Pastor Billy Two Toes didn't tell me about this one. Demons are fallen angels. I'm going to go through this quickly. Sometimes our theology textbooks state that the first sin came into the world with the sin in the garden. But already there was a fall before the humans fell. Right? Come on. Adam and Eve were the first humans to fall, but there had already been a fall. The serpent came into the garden from outside with evil intent. The serpent questioned God's goodness by insinuating that God was withholding something good. And so, boom, they fell. So, once they fell, quickly, I'm going through it, I'll put it in the chat. Demons have a leader. Folks, the same military structure we see in angels that we just saw, it's copied. Satan's a copier of what they call a counterfeiter. He's a counterfeiter. He uses the same system. So we got good angels, we got bad angels. We had a good system, we got a bad system. Demons have a leader. Satan's their leader. He once was an angel, a cherub, going wrong, or was he an archangel going wrong? We don't know for sure. But Michael and his angels defeated him and his angels in battle. So he was defeated by the archangel. Scripture has a number of titles in addition to Satan and the devil. Provides a handy summary of several other terms that are used less frequently. The tempter, Beelzebub, the enemy, the evil one, Belial, adversary, deceiver, great dragon, father of lies, murderer, sinner. Those are all names. Wow. Satan and his demonic entourage have limitations. Satan is our powerful spirits, but they're not omnipresent, omniscient, or omnipotent. Regarding omnipresence, demons can leave a man and enter into pigs. Regarding omniscience, angels, and we can safely surmise fallen angels also, do not know the day and the hour of the return of the Son of God. And regarding omnipotence, no angel, ruler, or power can separate the believer from the love of Christ. In some Christian circles, devilish power, knowledge, and presence are inflated. Okay, I don't go down through all this. The devil's aim, you'll do some homework. The diabolical aim is worship. Huh? Yeah. The devil wants the worship and obedience that is intended for God, he wants to steal that. There are two important diabolical guises. The devil's a deceiver. The Apostle Paul warns the Corinthians that the devil can disguise himself as an angel of light. What was it Russ called it? What did Russ Dizdar call that? I'll find it. Paul's writing about the danger of false teachers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. These deceitful workmen are angels of the great deceiver. False teaching, false gospel, false teachers still persist and trouble the churches today. This may be particularly so in the West. Oh, man. Okay. Look, I'm going to stop. Christ is the victor over Satan. Demon inhabitation is real. Believers cannot be inhabited by a demon, but they can be influenced. The devil and his demons have no future with God, and you may have a blind spot. Boy, this is good. Put it in. Okay, I got more. Give me some feedback. Come on in. Good, James.
I tell you, it's a much needed teaching. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said that, in Colossians, Paul said in Colossians, all things were made by him and for him all things are made. So this, the whole infrastructure here in this world was created by the Father himself, because we were supposed to live and reign with him here. Amen. So all the structure of the kingdom of darkness was created by the Father. Now, I tell you, if you go to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, there's a scenario of a man who did not forgive of a debt. He went to this king or this guy who was really rich, who he owed $1 billion, and he says, "Lord, I'll pay you if you forgive me. Just give me a little time. I'll pay you." So he said, "Yes, I'll forgive you. You're forgiven. Go make some more money." And so he goes to a buddy of his who owed him $100, and he said, "Pay me what you owe." "Well, I can't do it. I'll pay if you let me do it." And he put him in prison.
Yeah.
And the theory of this thing is, he said, "Look, if I forgave you of the big debt, and you couldn't forgive of the little debt."
Yeah. Grudges, be careful. Yeah, go ahead.
Jesus said, "My Father in heaven will do this to you. I will send you to the tormentors." Who are the tormentors? Demons. So he uses demons to attack, when we get out of line to it. Hey, good word, brother. Thank you. Love it.
I'm doing the best I can. I'm just an old Catholic boy trying to work my way through it. That's really,
yeah,
that's really
that, all that word, that Greek word for possession, it's a really bad translation in the King James. It's really demonized. Amen. A Christian can be demonized, but they can't be possessed. They possess. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Folks, a Christian cannot be possessed, but he can be oppressed. That's why we wrestle. Betty, come on in.
Boom. I was going to say that, if you look at it, these wannabe Christians that go to church, a lot of them are possessed. And remember, Satan's the angel of music.
Betty, so, they may love the Lord.
They may,
They're being oppressed.
I believe if they're born again, you can't get possessed. You can be oppressed, because I've been there and done that. Yep.
Hey, Betty, what percentage, Betty, do you think in your church of the people are born again, really born again?
I would say maybe 10%, if that.
Maybe, huh?
Maybe, because it's very few. Remember, the road is, the path
is away.
Yep. You got it. Amen. Thank you.
Good word. Craig.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, Spencer, did you see that? Pull that link up there.
I got so much stuff to give you. I need a month. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm learning it myself. I'm not a know-it-all. I'm learning it myself. Okay, understand that? Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, we just posted this up here. And if you scroll down, Spencer, this lady is like Stephanie and steroids, right? And if you can read it there for a second, Coach, it's really okay. This is 2.5 hours. Okay,
put it in the chat for me, Craig. Spencer,
sorry, put it in the chat. It's in the chat, you know. Okay, thanks. Do that, but what basically is this woman here is just like with David Arthur. I mean, her mom fell down the steps when she was pregnant. Remember how David said, "Hey, you know, the devil's trying to kill you from the beginning." You're gonna really get a lot of confirmation of different things, and you're gonna get a deeper understanding of this, how the new age. This woman has lived it. She can tell it. She's a good communicator.
It's real.
Share, right? Yeah. So,
amen, amen.
You know, she's got Reiki and all this other stuff. Yoga.
Hey, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. She breaks down the whole yoga. So here's the thing, here, Coach. Okay. Well, you know, was there yoga in 1970? Did you see it on your? You know, when you go to the Hilton Hotel, do you see the people on their beds in a yoga position? Did you see that? No. I mean, no. Go look at the commercials. You see this? You know. Who are social influencers? Okay. She speaks exactly to what you're saying. Okay. You are influenced by spirits that you leave open doors, but you're not possessed. Two different things. Okay. But the thing is, the renunciation of it is in your authority and your power. We have the authority over the demons. We don't have the authority over the principalities, but we can call upon the Lord to send the Michaels, the Gabriels, to do that, to come into agreement, right? And that's kind of what we do when we've gone to the Georgia Guidestones and different areas across the country, right? We're asking that the Lord send his mighty warring angels shoulder to shoulder over this property to change the influence that's going on there in the demonic realm.
When's the last sermon any of you had on the demonic realm, angels, demons, casting them out? Why do we have to have experts like Russ Dizdar and Tom? Come on, Tom. Tom Dunn. Why do we have to have experts? Aren't we all supposed to be experts on casting out devils? I think we are. I don't know. Hang on. I got to pull this up there. Now I got rattled again. Which one was that, Lord? No, Hankster, bear with me. No. Oh, yeah, number 11. Pull up number 11. Pull up number 11. Folks, I want you to watch, do some homework, okay? Got some homework for you. Michael Heiser, the late Michael Heiser. This is unbelievably. This is 45 minutes. Just take it about the 2-minute mark. Michael Heiser's talking to us about the unseen realm. Just give him a couple minutes of it. Mike, the late Michael Heiser, just died last year, actually. This is so powerful. It's 45 minutes, and you can play it. You speed it up a little bit. Just play a couple minutes.
Gospels, those are really just psychological conditions and, you know, other health problems. And it's like, okay, there are a couple that, you know, could go either way with that. But, you know, Jesus doesn't command a brain or, you know, abnormality to go into a herd of pigs over the edge, you know, into the sea. You know, there are just narratives that don't fit that. When it comes to the spiritual world, we are forced to use the language of our own experience. Things we can process, distance, time, space. And the biblical writers are doing it because, guess what? They're using words that they know and their audience knows. So they're taking things from their world, vocabulary, metaphors, and they're using those things to describe the indescribable. What we tend to do in Christian tradition is the white hats are angels, the black hats are demons. Well, the text of Scripture doesn't really conform to that. Deuteronomy 32:8-9, when the Most High divided up the nations, when he fixed their boundaries and their borders, he fixed their number according to the number of the sons of God. Now, that's what the Dead Sea Scrolls say. It's what the New RSV says, ESV, NLT. The number of modern translations will follow the Dead Sea Scrolls. Other ones don't. They'll read Sons of Israel instead of Sons of God. And Sons of God is the demonstrably correct reading because of the Dead Sea Scroll material. If you think about the Babel event and say, well, why would God divide up the nations according to these Sons of Israel? That's the traditional reading that a lot of Bibles still have. It doesn't make any sense because Israel didn't exist at the time of Babel. And so people wonder, well, what do we do with that? Well, the real answer is that isn't what the original text actually said. And we wouldn't really know any of that had it not been for the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, the Septuagint also matters a lot.
Watch it later on. Watch it later on, okay?
That guy's really good.
I'm telling you, man. Dr. Paul, come on in.
Have you seen a movie, Nefarious, Coach?
Yes.
Great movie. I'd be cautious about this idea that we can, you know, dispel demons. I mean, I think you really have to know what you're doing, to be honest. I've seen them, Coach. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not that brave, Coach.
Well, I think we can, but I think we have to understand how to do it, Paul. But I think
it requires training.
They're in there by permission, folks. They're in there by permission. If you have a demon in you invited it in.
Yeah, right? That's right.
And so we have to understand that. We hold some responsibility. And again, unfortunately, we're not taught much about the demonic in the church. And how we wrestle not against flesh and blood and yada, yada, yada. I got 4 minutes and so much more to put up here. Lord, what else? I want to make sure I'm not missing anything today. Oh, that's so good. That is so good there too. Somebody help me close it out here. Oh, no. Did I show you that? Oh, yeah, I did. I showed you that. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, Mark 16, verse 15, the commission the Messiah gives us. He said, in my name, you will go and cast out demons. It's a part of our mandate.
Amen.
If you're not doing, you know, there's no special training that you have to cast out demons. It's him and you casting these things out, these entities. But being that they know the higher, the structure of the kingdom of darkness, they know their right. They know their rights. They know when you command a demon to come out of a person, they say, I'm not coming out because I have rights.
The devil's legalistic, isn't he?
He is. I have rights. She forgot to forgive a person, and I have rights. And so you have to pull her back and say, hey, you got to forgive this person. Oh, I forgive this person. And then you go back, and you can eventually get this person delivered, but they know their rights. Jesus has all the power, the glory, and given it to us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Mary Beth, quickly.
I had an experience down there when I came down there, and I just said the name of Jesus to this person, and it was pretty amazing because he literally shut right up.
Amen.
He is powerful. His name is powerful.
We don't believe in the supernatural. We don't teach about the supernatural, and we don't engage with the supernatural. And everything that, come on now, think about modern Christianity. Much of what we hear from the pulpit is how to live a good life in this world, right? When we're in a war. We're in a war. And we shouldn't be surprised we see these things around us that our children get picked off, or that our spouse gets picked off, or, you know what? I got to be careful. look. The devil is sowing a lot of discord amongst the brethren. I want you to understand, I'm giving you some very important heads up. The devil is after marriages. I'm going to say that again. You better hear me. Guard your marriage. The devil is after marriages. If he destroys a marriage, he destroys a family unit. I don't care how much everybody else in that family loves Jesus. If the devil is able to destroy a family, a marriage, the consequences are beyond what we can even imagine. And how does that happen? Temptation. Listening to the wrong voices. We're in a freaking war. It's time we realized it. It ain't all goody two-shoes, happy, 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 slappy. Nope. See you tomorrow. Watch those videos. Watch those videos in the chat. See you tomorrow.